happy Easter, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Easter Sunday.
Hope you have a wonderful time as you join us for our celebration that Jesus is alive. We welcome people from across Lutworth, Coates, Batcham, Bitterswell, and in fact, friends and family far further afield as we gather today to celebrate. Let's pray as we begin. Let's say these words together.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom those secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's wonderful news, isn't it? That's what we've come to celebrate today. But as we come before the Saviour who rose, but only because he first died for us. So we're going to use the words of confession to admit our need for God's forgiveness and salvation. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And that's the wonderful news that we celebrate today. Here on Easter Sunday, as we celebrate that Jesus died for our sins and rose for our salvation, so that we can know that we are forgiven, that we may have new life with him forever. Let's pray the church's special prayer for today. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. Well, our service continues.
Hello, everybody. God bless you. Happy Easter. Charlie's asked me to just give you a quick heads up on what's going on in my little world. This corona lockdown is sort of making us a little bit omnipresent because we're able to record things and then make presentations in several places at the same time. It's really kind of interesting. But if you could pray for all the hundreds of thousands, literally, of people in Leicester that don't know Jesus, pray that they would have an encounter with God this Easter time. And I've recorded 3-4 preaches that are going out this week, and 3 of those are to Hindu communities, which is amazing. They're just receiving Jesus. And one is to North Evington Free Church. Really pray that those people will be impacted by the gospel this Sunday, which will really be amazing. And also, one of the Hindu guys sent me, one of the leaders, he sent a YouTube clip called Then Jesus Sent a Cleaner. And it's about a guy who's in intensive care with coronavirus, very poorly. And this cleaner came in, told him about Jesus, prayed with him. That night, the guy turns a corner and he gets completely well. And he is just so amazed at how wonderful Jesus is. And it's quite a moving little film clip. Yeah, and I recommend you look at it. The stunning thing was I got back to this guy and said, hey, why don't you send that round all the communities? And he said, yeah, we'll do. And he's done that. So this incredible Christian testimony is going out also this weekend. So let's just pray for these people that they will have an encounter with Jesus. Anyway, it's wonderful to be able to talk to you. Take care now. Have a great day.
Well, I wonder, can you work out if these facts about me are true? Number one, I can do my alphabet from start to finish, and I know my alphabet is all in here. Is that true? Number two, I can do a hula hoop longer than a minute. This is even a weighted hula hoop, just for added fun. Can I do that? What about number three? I can do the floss. Do we think that's true? Well, I think there's a very simple way that we can work out if this is true or not. Some of you may have even shouted it already at your screens. Katrina, prove it. If you can do it, prove it. That's how we know, isn't it? We know something's true if we can prove it. Well, let's have a go. Now, I'm not going to prove that I can do the alphabet. If you really want to know, you can call me later, see if you can work it out. But I can do my alphabet. Have to trust me in that. But let's try the hula hoop. Can I do this for longer than a minute? Have a guess now. Here we go. Let's see. Believe it or not, I've improved on this in isolation. Oh, but no, I can't do it. I think 10 seconds is about my limit. And what about finally the floss? Can I do this? It's something like this, isn't it? Something like that. Anyone doing it at the screen instead of me? Yeah, I can't do that. I can pretend, but I can't do it. We have proof of what I can do and what I can't do. And I think this is sometimes how we view the Bible, and particularly with the Easter story, what we're celebrating today, Jesus coming back to life again from the dead, is so incredible, is so almost unbelievable. How do we know that it is true? Well, from the passage that we're going to read in a bit from the Bible, I think God is really kind, and he gives us lots of clues that this really did happen. He gives us lots of details about what people saw and heard and what they did. I wonder if you can spot them later. To help you out, I'm just going to highlight some of them. There were, in fact, two people, two Marys, who went to the tomb. It wasn't just one person making up a story. There was somebody else there to verify that it happened. They then saw a real-life angel, and I love that the Bible says he was sitting on a rock, and it said that he looked like lightning. That's so specific. And then they went to the tomb, and the biggest clue, the stone had rolled away. How on earth would anybody move a big stone? If someone was dead inside, that stone would have stayed very much there. But as they went inside, they didn't find Jesus. They just saw lots of strips of cloth. There was no body. There was no dead person. God gives us lots of clues and reasons, things that we can see and hear, reasons to believe and trust that this really happened. But why? Why do we even bother thinking about it? Why do we worry about it? Well, because this is the most important story in the whole of the Bible. You see, every story leading up to Jesus points to this. The whole of the Old Testament, the whole of Jesus' life, it points to what God was going to do on Easter, that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And every story afterwards points back to what Jesus did, points back to this day, and says, let's celebrate because of what Jesus has done, because he is now alive. That is good news forever. This is the most important story in the whole of the Bible. It changes everything. Now, at the moment, in isolation, I'm living with my brother and sister-in-law. And on Friday, they celebrated their first wedding anniversary with me. But they celebrated it. And last year, on the 10th of April, 2019, their lives changed forever because of this one day. Because from that day, they were Mr. and Mrs. Harper. And that's the thing with the resurrection. It's one day, one event that changed everything for all of life. Because Jesus really is alive, that changes how I live. Because Jesus really is alive, it changes how I think. It changes what I do. Jesus rising from the dead, he is alive. It changes everything, not just for me, but for people all over the world. And you know, this Easter time, things are a bit different. We're celebrating Easter in a different way this time, and things are uncertain. But what hope and how amazing is it that Jesus rose from the dead, that we can find proof, we can investigate, and we can then, if we choose to believe, have hope and joy that passes all understanding forever and ever. So today, why don't you try and look for those clues, listen up in the service, look at it after the service, and find out who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and have a very happy Easter.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the women,
"Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'"
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them.
"Greetings."
They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him.
"Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened.
When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money.
"You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble."
So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them.
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age."
Happy Easter. That's the good news, isn't it, today? That we can be happy because death is defeated. Christ is risen. And yet we've got a problem, haven't we? I mean, it's ridiculous. People just don't rise from the dead. They die, they're buried or cremated, and then they're mourned. The very notion of resurrection is, well, it's silly. Imagine going to the grave of a loved one to lay flowers, perhaps on an anniversary, and you get there and there is just a gaping hole in the ground. Shock, offence, fear even. The last thing you'd expect would be that they've been raised. Someone's stolen the body. Someone's desecrated the grave. Not they're alive again, they burst out. Because death is the one great human fact, the ultimate statistic, that one in one die. just this week I heard somebody say how a new procedure had saved 350 lives. And I thought, well, hold on. It hasn't quite saved 350 lives. It's delayed 350 deaths. It's very good at every act of self-sacrifice or technological, scientific, medical advance is well worth the effort. But it doesn't stop death. Or approach the resurrection from a scientific point of view. This is what Richard Dawkins, Oxford professor, says. It all quite really comes down to the resurrection of Jesus. It has a fundamental incompatibility with the sophisticated scientist. It's so petty, so trivial, so local, so earthbound, so unworthy of the universe. Presumably, what happened to Jesus was what happens to all of us when we die. We decompose. Accounts of Jesus' resurrection and ascension are about as well documented as Jack and the Beanstalk. It's a cynical view, but realistic too, isn't it? Oh, that's the question. Where's the evidence? Give me some documentation. Give me some proof. Because the problem is that for 2,000 years, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been at the centre of what Christians believe. It's an essential fact of our faith. We say it in the Creed. On the third day, he rose again. This belief has been repeated by countless millions, billions even, around the globe and throughout time. Is this like people saying, touch wood? You know, we don't really think it does anything, but we're better safe than sorry. Or the many who sing Christmas carols and send Christmas cards, but doubt whether those events really took place in the way that the songs say. Now, the claim has always been that Easter Sunday is a miracle. It breaks the ordinary rules. Did you see in our passage today from Matthew 28? There is a violent earthquake, verse 2. An angel of the Lord comes down from heaven, goes to the tomb, rolls back the stone, and sits on it. It is unashamedly miraculous. The stone, that great symbol of death, at the end of chapter 27, after Jesus is buried, is rolled over the tomb. Death has had its say. Jesus is finished. But you see, not only is this, well, an essential fact, it's also essential for us personally. So Paul writes, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are most of all to be pitied. You see, the Christian faith rests our personal salvation, rests eternal life on this historic fact. So let's come back to Richard Dawkins. Let's examine the evidence. And with me today, we'll spend a bit of time in Matthew chapter 28. It was the great Sherlock Holmes, Conan Doyle's detective, who said, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. This is a proven fact, and I want to show it with three big pieces of evidence. You see, the first fact that you must explain is the empty tomb. So, let's think what could have happened. The women go there and the tomb is empty. The stone is, in fact, rolled back so that the women can see in. Did Jesus naturally revive? And if he did, would he have been strong enough to roll back that stone? After a day of torture and an agonising death, or what appeared to be so? No, he couldn't have revived. Surely, as well, the Romans, that most efficient empire, they knew how to kill somebody. They knew execution. And they even checked that he was dead. They used a spear to pierce his side to check for the symptoms. No, the stone is rolled away not to let a revived Jesus out, but to let the women in to see that he is not there. Well, how was it empty? The other obvious idea is that somebody stole the body. But the question's got to be, who? At the Romans, those who'd put him to death? What possible reason would they have had for hiding this body? In fact, it was them in the previous chapter that put guards outside. Matthew 28 explains the plot. That once they realise that the tomb is empty, they begin to come up with some sort of plan. You know, if they'd have found the body, if they'd have had it hidden themselves, then surely once these disciples start going around at saying that he's risen, they'd have produced it. And the same goes for the chief priests. The Jewish leaders might have been worried about this claim. They might have been worried that somebody was going to pretend. So they might have hidden the body. Okay, but the obvious thing to do as people start going around saying, he's risen, he's risen, and we've seen him, is to go, no, you haven't. Look at this corpse. No, the Romans didn't steal it, and the Jews neither. But what about the disciples? Could they have stolen it? And that brings us on to our second piece of evidence, the transformed disciples. See, just earlier, when Jesus is arrested, they flee. They desert him. Peter, who's one of Jesus' closest disciples, does follow on, but at a bit of a distance. And as Jesus is inside being trialled, Peter is outside around the fire. And three times he's recognised as a Jesus follower. And three times he denies him. Does that seem like the sort of man ready to steal and hide a body and to go around with bold claims? But at this point, they're hidden. They're hiding in an upstairs room. They're fearful. They don't know if they're next. Jesus died on Friday. Who will they come for next? But these disciples are transformed from a terrified group of members of a failed coup to bold declarers of the gospel. Now, this is not a cynical plot. They claim they've seen him. They've shared food. He's cooked them a beach barbecue. They even claim that at one point he was seen by 5,000 people. Well, if you want to explain away the resurrection, you've got to account for these disciples and their complete transformation. And the third piece of evidence to look to is the global church. We see it all around us. How do you explain how a tiny group of religious radicals in an insignificant part of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago has grown into a global phenomenon? It covers the whole world. Yes, the majority can be wrong. Just because most people believe something or because a lot of people do, it doesn't mean you should too. But you've got to explain it. To dismiss Christianity, you have to be able to explain the resurrection. Because there are now billions of people around the world who claim to know and trust this Jesus. There are many who will tell you stories of what he has done for them. Three pieces of evidence: the empty tomb, transformed disciples, and a global church. People don't rise from the dead. It doesn't happen. This is not the expected course of events. But just imagine if somebody did. The consequences would be huge. We'd listen to what he said. We'd believe what he said about himself. The echoes would be heard for 2,000 years and more. So let me encourage you today to come. To come and look at this Jesus, to look at the resurrection. Because this isn't merely a historical fact, but it is something personally essential. Because it gives us hope in the face of death. Just last Sunday, I was leading the service here as my grandma died. But I have no fear for her. There's some, frankly, relief at her release from suffering. But so much more, there's joy because she is with Jesus. And not some vague hope that she's in a better place, but a sure and certain hope that she is now with the one that she believed and trusted for all of her 98 years. my uncle got the call. And as he arrived at the care home, it turned out that she had died moments before. And as he walked to her room, from another room, from a TV, was playing the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." You see, we come today not merely to celebrate something that happened, but to celebrate what it meant, that because Jesus died and rose again, we can have a sure and certain hope for us in the midst of the trials of life, in the midst of our current worry and fear, and even in the midst of death. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that you raised Christ from the dead, that Jesus is risen and ascended and one day to return. And we thank you because of this event, we can be certain, faithful and hopeful, knowing that you are the God who rules, that we have a Saviour who is bigger than death. And we pray that we would trust, believe, from now until our last breath. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we have a time of prayer together now, we'd ask you if you would join into the response to these prayers. When I say, in faith we pray, the response is, we pray to you, our God. So in faith we pray to you, our God. Creator God, in the beauty of spring, we witness again and again your creative hands at work. As we see the flowers break through the earth, bursting into colour, the first bees and butterflies, the birds feeding their young. So your Son broke through the darkness of this world to bring us light and hope. As we bathe in the warmth of spring, may we feel the warmth of your love and radiate it to others. And on this Easter morn, thanks be to you, O Christ, because you have broken for us the bonds of sin and brought us into fellowship with the Father. Thanks be to you, O Christ, because you have triumphed over death and opened to us the gates of eternal life. Thanks be to you, O Christ, because where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there among them. Thanks be to you, O Christ, because you are alive forever to intercede for us. For these and for all other benefits of your mighty resurrection, thanks be to you, O Christ. We bring to you, Lord, our world, a world troubled and in anxiety, with the virus sweeping through it. And so we lift to you, Father, the doctors, nurses, and all those working in hospitals, care homes, going in and out of people's houses to look after those who need help at home. We bring to you our scientists that are seeking to find out the cause of the virus and to hopefully prepare a vaccine. Most of us here in this country have a home to go to. And so we bring to you now the people that do not have a home. We think of the refugees, some living in camps with little or no protection. But we give thanks to those who bring food, aid, medical support to them. And we pray that during this crisis, they will still be able to do this. In faith, we pray. We pray to you, our God. We pray for our country, for the Queen and her family, the members of Parliament, for our civil service working so hard to get measures through to help the people in need, working very long hours. We thank you for those that have offered a change from their normal work to making much needed equipment, for those volunteering to look after and deliver to the people that cannot leave their homes. Thank you to our emergency services as they comply to the new instructions. And as these instructions get harder, help us all to understand the need for them. In faith, we pray. We pray to you, our God. We bring to you, Father, our families. We know that many cannot see their families at this time and are in isolation. We pray for those that are alone. We think of the young people who at the moment are on Easter holidays but have been schooling at home. We pray for their parents as they help them with their lessons. For their teachers who are staying in touch with them and doing everything they can. We pray for the very small ones who are missing nursery and their little friends and cannot always understand why they cannot play now with each other. Father, take away the anxiety from the young people who would be taking exams. Be near their teachers as they work out their grades. For students at colleges and universities that would be taking their finals this year, help them to see that their degrees will be given and they will be accepted. In faith, we pray. We pray to you, our God. We lay before you now the sick, the worried, those who are grieving. Father, at this time, many cannot go to the people that they love, cannot comfort them, cannot hold them. Help us all to understand their anxieties, to support them with our prayers, speak to them often, lend a listening ear, that they may know that we are still there for them through these difficult times. In faith, we pray. We pray to you, our God. And as we end this time of prayer together, dear Father, we thank you for sustaining us in this difficult time when things seem uncertain and our futures unknown. We know that you love us, that you care about our whole lives, that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Open our hearts and minds to your voice. Then give us courage and a real desire to do your will now and in the future. And our Lord Jesus Christ, you bring to us the promise of sunlight, the resurgence of hope. For in you all has been conquered, death, pain, and doubt. For you are the Easter light and the Easter joy. Amen.
Let us declare our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today.
Hope you enjoyed our service.
Hope you have a wonderful Easter.
Bye! Bye.